Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
Journey's Greatest Hits spent its 800th week on the Billboard 200. Means in the last 15 years and 4 months, Journey's Greatest Hits album has been on the charts. And it is now number 3, just behind Bob Marley. And, of course, still leading the pack is Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. That thing has been on the charts for 989 weeks. Maybe somebody just forgot to take it off.
Once they get past 175, who's counting at that point? How many people bought that Journey album just for Don't Stop Believin'?
Oh, probably. Yeah, I'm sure a lot. I think Steve Miller's Greatest Hits, now not to that extent, but also I know the Eagles' Greatest Hits.
Like, are people still buying full albums?
They're selling very well. You go into that, there's a couple of record stores. There's a few, a couple of used ones near us, and then there's the one in the mall. And that one, especially around the holidays, especially around Christmas.
Right.
When people are looking for,
But are these little places still reporting to the Billboard charts?
Well, probably not here. This is probably more of an American thing.
Right.
Yes. But who knows? Maybe they are.
In the situation now, what we always kind of dreamed of just, hey, can I just get one song and buy that for a buck? Oh, I can now? Great.
Well, see, the great thing is, and this is what I always found with albums, I don't have any anymore. I don't even own a turntable. But when I was young and listening to records constantly, yes, the hits were the hits, and you'd hear them on the radio. But when you listen to something like Dark Side of the Moon, and it's the great example, it really is telling an entire story. Even the songs, and what happens over time is there are songs on that album that you fall in love with.
Right.
That, you know, never made it to the top 40 or on the radio. So
yeah.
The joy of sitting and listening to a record is very pleasurable. I mean, I always did enjoy it. And it's a thing a lot of people seem to be catching on. Record sales have gone up huge. I think probably again Taylor Swift reintroducing her records and rewriting them and re-releasing them.
Are her fans, like, are these kids going out and buying the full album? I guess they are. It's released.
Yep, they are.
And supporting her. I find it somewhat shocking that they still have these classic albums that are still making the rounds.
I think it really depends a lot in your upbringing. If music is huge in your house, and when I was a kid, it was. My parents were always listening to records. So that just filtered down to me, and I, started getting into. And again, it was, a different time. You would find a band you really liked, and much like Swifties do with her, I guess, you latch on to that band, and you buy everything they release, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
And I did that, a lot. And I have family members that got young kids. 18, 17, they got turntables in their bedrooms.
Well, listen, I grew up in a very musical household. My dad has a record player and had the stacks of albums as well, and would sit and put them on and listen to them. And like I said last week with the Eclipse, he wore down that Bonnie Tyler album listening to that. But I also, kind of came up in the generation in the late 80s, early 90s of the mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
And where, listening to the radio to record your song was a real thing.
Yep.
And mixing a tape together. So you wanted individual songs and you could mix them all up yourself.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably in your house now, like I've mentioned this to you before, we always have some sort of Stingray music channels.
Right.
TV isn't on, but on the weekends, we always have music playing through the house. And you'd said you don't. So I guess in your home, maybe your kids they like some songs, they like some things they hear, but it's not being fed to them on a regular diet.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. Like if the car has music on, it's usually three people with headphones in and one person driving.
Right.
Is that what
right.
goes?
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure.
It's the new reality.
Like my boys were raised listening to 70s one hit wonders. I went through a phase. I still love them to this day. And so there's a lot of music from the 70s that they still love because it was just, fed to them so much. So it's, I think it's got a lot to do with that. And Ariel and Daniel collect records and they have a turntable. So I guess it's just what you've been introduced to or not. Anyhow, Journey's still pocketing some serious change, as is, I guess, Bob Marley's estate.
Well, I mean, and listen, they just had the Marley movie, right? So that's going to help out with that. And that Legend album was just amazing. Mm-hmm. I have that one.
I remember going to this resort in Jamaica, and I felt so bad for the employees there because I was only there a week, and I was already Marley'd out by Tuesday. It's just on first thing in the morning, and it's there around the pool all day. And speaking of music from the 90s, Loudwire.com decided to release a list of what they believe to be the 75 greatest songs of the 90s. And I'm surprised because they have Aerosmith from 1998. I don't want to miss a thing is number one.
The number one rock number song of the 90s?
I know. It's weird, right?
I mean, it was a big hit, obviously. It was associated with the movie. But... wow.
Yeah, I just think of grunge and downer tunes for most of the 90s.
Nirvana?
Music.
Where's Nirvana?
Well, I only have the top 20 and they're not even there.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of, you know, your Stone Temple Pilots are on there and Temple of the Dog and Pearl Jam makes the list and Nine Inch Nails with Closer.
Right.
My grandmother's favorite song. Great tune. Great tune. But when you're in the grocery store.
Right. Yeah.
You know, or you're, if we're out working on a weekend remote and all of a sudden Lee Eckley plays it.
Yeah.
I walk away for a bathroom
break. I tend to turn that one down.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great club hit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're dancing along.
Dry humping someone in the corner.
Some girl dances over to you with that song. You're thinking, whoa.
Here we go.
It's on.
Meanwhile. The stark daylight of a furniture store. Do you know where they have the armoires? Not here. Way over there. This is interesting. This really does show the disconnect between management and companies and employees. Most bosses, when asked, think their employees are doing great when it comes to avoiding burnout at work. And when you ask the employees, you get a very different answer. Most managers said they think their workers are thriving right now. But only a quarter of those employees agree. Many said they're burnt out or just don't care about their job anymore. In other words, 9 in 10 bosses think everyone's just loving it. But in reality, most people kind of dread going to work. The poll found that the top three things currently causing burnout are constant changes, too much busy work, and high turnover.
Hmm.
Now, it is said that the top things bosses could do to help is care about their employees in a real way. Among the quarter of workers who said they're thriving, the top reason they gave was my manager is invested in my success.
Okay.
And here's one thing probably that we don't think about often because we just look to management. You know, when you could work beside somebody and be best friends for years, get along great in the office, and the minute they get behind a closed door and become a manager or move up the ladder, they're just a dick now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't like them.
They've forgotten everything they know.
Yeah.
They don't care about the little guy anymore.
Over half of managers said they're currently burnt out as well. So everybody's burnt out. Now, this might be a way to combat that. There's always talk about going to the 4-day work week. Shifting away from the 5, and out of 100 CEOs, many are seriously thinking about shifting away from the 5-day work week now.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They would consider a 4-day or 4.5-day work week. 4.5 usually means Fridays or a half day, but it depends on your job. And a lot of us...
we still won't be happy.
Oh, no. And here's why we won't be. Because some of us are more willing to work longer days to get that Friday off.
So right.
You work a 10-hour day.
But not everybody.
Within a month,
you'll
be pissing and moaning because you got to work a 10-hour day.
Or the company's going to get back and say, yeah, we're going to a 4-day work week. We're giving you a Wednesday off.
Yeah.
And so, you're like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Wanted a 3-day weekend.
No, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, there's, of course, a lot of businesses, this one included. There's many that just cannot go to that. You just need bodies there all the time.
But, right.
But for a lot of office work, yeah, why not? Sure. I mean, you know, most offices, I heard the numbers in the for office rentals are still way down. There's a lot of open space since COVID, and a lot of people are not taking up office space. And a lot of these tall office buildings, their leases are usually 10 to 11 years. And with that, each year, new leases come up.
Yeah.
So you're getting more and more because a lot of them are just going, ah, forget it.
Well, yet, they've discovered now that a lot of their meetings can be done on Zoom or didn't need to happen in the first place.
And although those numbers are probably true, look at what's going on just around us. All the office buildings going in.
Yeah.
So there still must be a need for them.
Yeah, there's a and I know North Oshawa and Whitby as well, both built a lot of industrial kind of office space in the North End. Mm-hmm. And I've always said, I thought Mississauga, and this is back in probably the Hazel McCallion days, where along the 403, they just built these massive business parks. Mm-hmm. And they built them to be empty initially. And then, the old if you build it, they will come theory eventually getting filled in. And it looks like a lot of the same is happening here. Like people either it's either a storage unit or some sort of industrial space going on.
Yeah. I think old Hazel, she knew her way around politics. And I think she got a lot of dough out of the province,
mm-hmm.
a lot of stuff that did just sit there completely empty. And I know. Growing up in the West End, it was always a bone of contention between Brampton, Bramley, and Mississauga because it always felt like that part of Peel got everything.
Right.
And Brampton and Bramley got forgotten about. But anyhow, she was good for Mississauga. I mean, she was one of those, and it's rare in a politician. She was one of those people, as the mayor of that city, who people never turned on.
Yeah.
They were loyal to her to the bitter end. Like she... You know, as we see what's going on with Justin Trudeau and, other leaders who stick around a long time, eventually you wear out your welcome. She just never did.
Mm-hmm.
She was very, very impressive and was...
Or didn't listen to the ones who were complaining.
Maybe. Well, she couldn't hear them. 350 years old. It is a spring, and with that, a lot of us do our spring cleaning. We clean out the garage, and we clean out closets and old drawers and go through crawl spaces, and we... either donate or toss out or sell. And since I have a pantry the size of a small walk-in closet full of hot sauces, I am now having a lawn sale, a fire sale.
Oh, yeah.
My arse is on fire sale. That's
right. Ring of fire sale.
That's a ring of fire sale.
From Craig Venn.
That's right. I'm going to have all my hot sauces on the front lawn. I went to see Dr. Downer yesterday.
Post-eclipse ring of fire sale.
It's not a good situation. I'm delicate even this morning. Anyhow.
That what Dr. Downer said?
Well, so we went over. I thought I had the hemorrhoids, as so many people get them. And I have just shoved everything up there to try to control this thing. Fire hoses worth of lotion and potions, and nothing really seems to cool it down. And Maria had said to me a few times, you got to lay off the hot sauce. That's probably the problem. No, many of us, when we eat like hot wings or anything, when you go to the bathroom, you'll get the ring of fire. And it's there for a bit, and it just goes away.
Right.
This is like the Manson family is stabbing me in the arse. All day long.
And you've continued the hot sauce throughout this?
Well, because I really didn't think it was the problem. I just assumed it was hemorrhoids.
Right.
And I didn't really...
But even still, wasn't the hot sauce make things flow a little?
Well, you would think. I mean, my diet has changed considerably. And my routine in that department has improved greatly. But, something's going on. And
right.
So I'm telling him, listen, it's gotten to the point. It's worse than it ever was. And then he's saying, well, there is, listen, he goes, and he told me this before, there is doctors like right over here near this, in this clinic.
Yeah.
Who do these surgeries on roids, but basically they cut them out, but it's surgery.
Right.
And it's very painful in the healing process, mm-hmm. and they can come right back. So then we just started talking more and more about it. And at some point I got around to admitting that I eat a lot of hot sauce, and I go, Doc, when I say a lot, I mean a lot. Like, I make soups out of it. So he goes, there's your problem right there. And I go, really? Like, I mean, I can understand, too, with, you watch Hot Ones and they go to these 23,000 Scovilles.
Yes,
I never thought Frank's hot sauce. I don't even think it's on it's way down the list of hot stuff.
Yeah.
But I guess
But at the levels you're consuming it.
Yeah, it's caused some issues.
I'm surprised you never connected the dots to try and cut down on that a bit.
Well, Maria claims that I did. Like, this has been going on for like 2 years. And she said about, I don't know, 6 months ago or something, I cut down. But I don't remember. And she claims that I said things were better. But again, I had forgotten that. or I blocked it out of my mind because I didn't want to give up my love of the hot sauce.
Right.
But it looks like that avenue of pleasure is gone. So if you're in need.
The hot sauce going in or the sticking the potions up the other side? Which part was the avenue of pleasure?
Well, both. Listen, I'm open to experimentation. I don't say no. I say, let's see how this goes.
Now you need to say no to hot sauce.
I got
to
say no to hot sauce. So yeah, another, I have so few pleasures in my life. And now that one's gone. Naked Gun, the classic film from 1988, is getting a reboot. Liam Neeson is going to take over the role of Lieutenant Frank Drebin.
Wow.
Which, of course, was played by Leslie Nielsen in the three original movies.
I mean, I've seen Liam Neeson do some funny bits before. He's done some, was it Funny or Die things?
Yep.
And he does have like some comedy chops, although you think of him as like the Taken speech all the time.
He was always very much a dramatic actor, right?
Yeah.
Schindler's List and a whole bunch of different films where he was very dramatic and serious. And then, yeah, he became this, hero, tough guy.
Right.
And now he's going to take a shot at comedy. So
I guess OJ's not a part of it.
No, interesting. They just announced this after OJ passed. Now, of course, Priscilla Presley was in it as well. She was the love interest, but that won't be the case now. Pamela Anderson.
Really?
Is going to play that part. So we'll see if they get to redo this line.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Let me help you with that.
Just a classic.
It's so good.
Just a classic. So we'll see. I remember seeing I'm sure I saw all three along the way and just loving them and just thought they were the funniest things. Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini, and Carmela Soprano, Edie Falco, were among a bunch of big names who did a privately produced little video to try to convince LeBron James of something. The video also had Reggie Jackson, Chris Rock, Mike Bloomberg, Robert De Niro, Alec Baldwin, Spike Lee, Rudy Giuliani, Harvey Weinstein, and even Donald Trump. Now, if you combine all those names together.
Trying to get him to New York?
Yeah, they wanted him to go to the Knicks.
Really?
Yeah, I guess this was when he was taking his talents to South Beach.
Yep.
And that whole crazy time. But, they sent him. Even Harvey Weinstein was involved. It obviously didn't work. But, Edie Falco and James Gandolfini talking, because they play Tony and Carmela in it, and they talk about being in witness protection because it had been filmed 3 years after The Sopranos had ended.
Okay.
So if people were to see it now, they'd think, see, they didn't die. They were in witness protection. When they went black, it was actually FBI coming in or something.
Wow. All the behind the scenes, like the amount that would have gone on and spent to produce all of this. I mean, obviously, you know, that an investment like that would pay off in ticket sales and the hype around it. But all of this done with just like for one guy, just to try and lure him.
Yeah. It says it wasn't made by the team or the city. Somebody privately produced it. So, yeah, somebody who really was a fan.
Spike Lee, probably. He's probably a guy who could pull that together.
Yeah, probably. And how the world has changed, eh? There was a time when people wanted Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani's opinion on things. Not so much these days. Well, there are people who still cling to his every opinion.
Right.
Anyhow, yeah, a long time ago, but off to Miami he went and then L.A., and now I guess the next thing for LeBron is, does he end up playing basketball with his son at some point?
That was, I think, the goal, if he can hang on that long. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've said this before about sports. You can't be a Nepo baby. It's the one thing, the one profession you cannot be a Nepo baby because you either have it or you don't.
Right.
Right? Actors can bring along their kids and CEOs can bring along their kids and lawyers can bring along and doctors, whatever. You can move up the ranks fairly quickly if you got family at the top. But if you can't sink three pointers or whatever the hell they're called, free throws and three pointers, you're not playing in the NBA.
No, and in some sense, it's even harder, right? Because the pressure is that much more having been LeBron's kid. And, and you know, very difficult to live up to. You know, Michael Jordan had a son. You can't.
Yeah.
Very difficult to live up to that name.
Like in sports, it's just so few and far between.
It can help get you the spotlight to get you there, right? We've seen that happen in junior hockey, for example.
Tooney.
Yeah, where you'll take a flyer on a kid, or not even that. I mean, they're put into good programs early to get them, the ability early on. But if you don't have it, you don't have it.
No, that's right. I mean, when you think of hockey outside of the Howes and the Hulls, there haven't been many father-son matchings.
Well, I mean, Taya Ginla is one that's coming up now. It's tough to be Gretzky's kid, and they went baseball and other routes.
I guess the Domi's.
Try to stay away from that. Max and Ty Domi. There's a lot of father-son combinations. Have they been stars outright? Not necessarily.
No. And then in baseball, the only one I can think of off the top of my head is Vlad, right? The Jays.
Yeah, well, Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh, right, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
Comes first to mind for me. And there are others now that are making their way. And again, they're good. The talent is there, obviously.
Yeah.
But they also, have the best of training and grow up in that environment. It helps out.
Do you have a cat or a dog, a pet of any sort? Many of us, we think of our fur babies as part of the family. And it seems like a lot of times we put a lot more effort into naming our pets than our own kids. There's a contest to find the wackiest pet names. Last year's winner included a dog named Doc Polliday.
Right. Polliday, yeah, nice.
That's a good one. And a cat named Spicy Beef Burrito, which is also good.
Punny.
Yeah. Some of the top dog names: Boots with the Fur, Chug Chug Pickles. Little Richard Simmons sweating to the oldies. Lord Waddles. I like that one.
Right.
Lulu the Conqueror. Mr. Pizza Puff. Molly from Corporate. The Bandit, the News. And this is a long one. One Love Tiny Dancer, Princess Margaret Rose Windsor.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. That's the dog category. With the cats, it's Balsamic Vin. Carl Arm, Itty Bitty Kitty Committee.
Ah.
Meow and A's. Skull Crusher.
Cat.
Yeah.
How's that name?
Tony Scarface Baloney. Samsung Family Hub Refrigerator.
Sounds like a Wi-Fi network.
This is maybe the best one. Steph Purry. That's a good handle.
The only problem is then when you go to the vet, they have to add like your family last name to the end of that.
Right. Yeah, people really do put in the effort. And then there's other animals. Someone has a tortoise named Midsize Sedan. A lizard named Frosted Mini Wheats. A guinea pig named Cow Pig. And an actual pig named Snoop Hoggy Hog.
Love it.
Is that your favorite?
That's fantastic. That's yes.
Gonna, yeah.
I would almost consider getting a pig to name it Snoop Hoggy Hog.
Yeah. You got to feel bad now if you named your dog Max. Put in zero effort.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.